AITO. It's the DNP Gardening Show on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. Brought to you by DNP Supplies, with stores in Idaho and Oregon. Now, here's your host, Master Gardener and Certified Arborist, Debbie Cook.
Good morning and welcome to the DNP Garden Show. I'm your host, Debbie Cook. And for the next hour, I'm going to be talking gardening. But specifically, we're going to be talking about fire and fire in the wildland urban interface. And I'm lucky enough today to have two guests with me. I've got Carrie Stenick. She is with the BLM. She is their fire prevention officer, and she's going to be talking to us about fire. And I've got Brett Van Papegem with me, and he is the project FireWise manager for Southern Idaho. And this is the first time that I have met Brett, but I have seen his gardens because he does a lot of FireWise gardens. If you've been to the Idaho Botanical Garden and seen the FireWise garden up there, you can imagine Brett working in the garden. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. So one of the things that I'd like to talk about, first of all, is there is a program called FireWise. And if you live in the wildland urban interface, and let's talk a little bit about, if people have heard about WUI, the wildland urban interface, what exactly does that consist of?
So the wildland urban interface is mostly consistent of the homes that we have bordering the Boise foothills, but that also goes out into our rural communities. And any home that borders the wildland, we consider the wildland urban interface. And those homes are particularly important in wildland fire because they really act as the gatekeepers to the rest of Boise. And so what happens on those homes in particular has a direct impact on the rest of our communities here in the Treasure Valley.
Boy, it sure does, because for anybody that has been in this valley and during fire season, it can be really, really smoky and hard to breathe. I mean, it doesn't only affect the people that are right there in that area, in that interface area. It affects everybody in the city. And so fires can also happen in the city. So this landscaping, you know, could be used anywhere. But specifically today, we're going to be talking about areas in that interface area. So there is a program that helps homeowners in that area. I'm not exactly sure when this program started, but it's called FireWise. And I'm going to let Brett talk a little bit about the history of FireWise, how it came about, and why it's so important.
So a gentleman named of Jack Cohen was a fire research scientist for the USDA Forest Service Missoula Research Center. And he basically did a lot of research on structure, ignition, and pretty much debunked the myth that if a forest fire came, it was inevitable that my house would burn down. And showed that if we created a space around the homes, that the home could survive. And he coined the term the home ignition zone, and determined that out to 100 feet, even a severe crown fire could be stopped from burning the home down if we had taken proper precautions within that 100 feet ignition zone around the home.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the things that when I studied about fire and FireWise and how the firefighters work to protect homes, it's one of the things that I think in our minds we all are aware of the fact that there's only so many fire engines, there's only so many firefighters, they cannot protect every single home. And so I was interested and surprised, and it made total sense to me, is that basically they'll triage a neighborhood and say, there's no way in the world we're going to be able to save that house, but we may be able to save this one. And so taking steps as a homeowner to ensure that, one, you've made some progress in helping firefighters or helping to keep the fire away from your home, plays a big role in the safety of, I mean, take some responsibility for your own property is basically what this boils down to. Mm-hmm. With some really great guidelines as to how homeowners can do that. So I want to talk a little bit about those particular guidelines. And one of the things that I would like to mention before I forget is the website for Idaho FireWise.
So Idaho FireWise website is idahofirewise.org.
.org. There you go. And you've got all kinds of information on that website. There'll be information about how you could contact either Brett or Carrie, and just get a whole bunch of information about this program. So, Brett, go ahead.
I'm sorry, and Idaho Fire Info would actually be a great resource for people also, because that has a link on it directly to the BLM, but also to Boise Fire's Aid to Fire Adapted Communities, and it's got several national resources on there as well. So Idaho Fire Info would be
another good one. Mm-hmm. So write those down in case you have need for those, but websites will give you all kinds of great information. So let's talk a little bit about the concepts of FireWise and how homeowners can actually use some really great information about fire. Carrie, you want to talk about that?
Sure. So the concepts of FireWise, so that the most important thing is just to have awareness and to recognize that fire has become a part of our environment, especially here in the Treasure Valley, but the homes are moving further and further into the wildland. And
the WUI keeps moving further and further out as we keep moving into it.
It does, yeah. And so we're getting more and more people coming from all over the country to Idaho and to Boise in particular. It's beautiful. We have a lot of recreation here. And the homes are expanding more and more into the wildland-urban interface. And unfortunately, the culture of wildland fire and the place that it holds in our society isn't changing with that. And so us as a society, we have to recognize that, hey, wildland fire is here. It's not going anywhere. We're going to have longer, hotter, drier seasons, more intense fires. And the homeowners really need to do their part to make sure that we can do our job and protect those homes if need be.
Mm-hmm. And we know that there are things that people can think about, like not putting shake roofs on your houses, mm-hmm. for one thing. Moving really flammable plant material away. And I know, Brett, you can address that, because I think that a lot of people think that some of the conifers that are so able to stand drought are really not going to burn very easily, when in fact they're full of all kinds of volatile oils.
Right, exactly. So, well, I'll step back a little bit about the concepts and zones, creating landscape zones. And zone one would include the home itself, and hardening off the home using clay tile or a metal roof instead of that cedar shingle. The building materials themselves, using brick, stucco, or stone kind of siding materials that are fire resistant. And then stepping out into the landscape itself in that first 30 feet, using low growing ground covers, lawns that are well maintained and kept green, but minimizing fuel by incorporating hardscapes like stone paver patios or brick pathways, rock features that can break up continuous fuel. Talk about conifers being so highly flammable. Plants have been in an ongoing chemical warfare of sorts for many thousands of years, and have developed these chemicals to survive. And volatile oils, resins, and terpenes are some of these chemicals that plants have produced for survival. And I think most of us are pretty aware that oil is highly flammable, but don't always think about what plants actually contain them.
Uh-huh.
So conifers like juniper, spruce, pine all contain these resins that are highly flammable. So we really want to avoid those, in particularly in that zone one area of the first 30 feet, keeping it all really low growing, lean, clean, and green.
Uh-huh. And I think that we've all seen pictures of houses that have survived wildfire. And it seems that it's usually the people that have made an effort to do exactly the kind of thing you're talking about, is clear a lot of those flammable materials away from their doorstep, really.
That's the best place to start, is right at the doorstep, and even including the mat in front of the front door, some of those kind of grassy kind of mats,
uh-huh.
Looking at the patio furniture and things that are right up close around the house, like the propane barbecue.
Oh, and, now see, that's something that you wouldn't necessarily even think about.
Well, a lot of people have the propane barbecue sitting there on the patio with cushions on their patio furniture that are maybe flammable. So think about having a plan for where to put those in the event of a fire. Store them in the garage, or have a place to not have them sitting out on the patio.
Right by your house.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the other thing that I heard when I was learning about FireWise, and then I was in a class this week, and a guy mentioned it again, and I was like, interesting. And I know that one of the principles of FireWise is they ask you to use screens, like on your chimney and that kind of thing. And it's not so much... This person that was talking this week had their house burned completely to the ground, and it was from an internal situation. The sparks had gone into the house and started the house on fire on the inside, and it's like, yikes, who would have thought of that?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty popular misconception. We usually don't lose homes by that flame front. It's usually through embers, and that's because those can collect in attics and in places where you have vents and eaves, and it can get in there and it can literally sit there and smolder for days and you may not even know, return to your home, and then you end up losing your home. And yes, it's from a wildfire, but it wasn't from the flame front. It was from the embers.
It was from the embers. And so that's a scary thing too. Another reason to keep your area directly around your house all cleared out of debris. And when I think of my house and where all the leaves like to collect, it's like, that would be a perfect place for a fire to start, where all those dried leaves blow into the corner of my house, and there they sit, just waiting. So
maybe talk a little bit about maintenance.
Let's do talk a bit about maintenance.
Maintenance is a big part of it, regardless of which plants you might choose, and I could talk quite a bit about specific plants to choose, but if it's not well maintained, it's a fire hazard. So watch out for where those leaves collect, and maybe that's an area where you could create a hardscape instead of having plant material.
Mm-hmm. So before, I don't know if you'd like to talk about plants that might be beneficial to use in zone one before we move out into the second zone, or if you want to talk about plants in zones all at one time. I don't know how you want to.
I can talk a little bit more about some choices for zone one. First of all, mulch, and avoiding organic bark kind of mulches in zone one, and using rock or gravel mulch. And a lot of our plant palette that we're using prefers to be in a rock mulch anyway. We live in a high desert climate here, and the plant palette that we've chose from are extremely drought tolerant plants that do well in this kind of a climate.
I guess you're not talking about rhododendrons and azaleas.
No, we're not. And not to say that a rhododendron might be a perfectly good FireWise plant, but you won't find it on our list because it's just requires more water, and it just doesn't fit our climate all that well.
Uh-huh.
There are some unique little areas around the Treasure Valley where it can do well, but it's not the wildland urban interface.
What kind of ground covers would you recommend?
Stone crop is my number one first choice for zone one ground cover. There are literally hundreds of different sedum is the genus for stone crop, and many, many colors and textures. It has a very, very high moisture content. So that would be a succulent.
Mm-hmm.
And hens and chicks are some other succulents. Anything that's really low growing, ground cover, and has a high moisture content. We also look at the chemical content, avoiding those volatile oils, resins, and terpenes, but there are other chemicals that plants produce that are quite the opposite and act more like a fire retardant. So plants that contain soap or saponins, pectin, like your strawberries or any kind of fruiting plant or fruiting trees can be a good choice.
A good choice?
Yes.
That's good to know. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with more of the D&B Garden Show. If you have any questions at all about plants that might work in your landscape, give us a call, 888-580-5436. You're listening to the D&B Garden Show on KIDO.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Tailgating season's here, and D&B Supplies got just the generator to run your stuff, the Honda EU 2000.
The EU 2000 is excellent for tailgating because it's super quiet. So generally, you're in a parking lot with a lot of other people. They get irritated if you've got a real loud generator. So that's one of the biggest things. And then, of course, you can fill the tank up, and generally it's going to last all the time that you're out there tailgating.
The Honda EU 2000, available at D&B Supply. Do you want the best looking lawn? Then use the very best, Scotts. We're hearing a lot of our customers tell us about a larger than normal problem with weeds this year. So weather permitting, apply Scotts Super Turf Builder Plus 2 Weed Control. It kills broadleaf weeds such as dandelions. The weeds gradually fade away, root and all, as your fertilized lawn grows thicker and greener. If you don't have weed problems, apply Scotts Super Turf Builder Lawn Fertilizer and build a thick green turf from the roots up without burning your lawn. When the weather gets hot, Scotts Super Turf Builder with Summer Guard builds a stronger lawn and combats seasonal threats like insects, heat, and drought. For the best-looking lawn, nothing beats Scotts Super Turf Builder program. Available at D&B Supply.
Western homes and families, the choice is D&B.
Kudzu, the ultimate invader. Some would describe kudzu as being indestructible. Until now, thanks to the science of Bear Advanced Brush Killer Plus, its powerful formula is specifically designed to penetrate and kill hard-to-control brush like kudzu, poison ivy, and poison oak, roots and all. And it even kills stumps, so your yard's days of being picked on are over. Bear Advanced. Better science, better results. BearAdvanced.com. Always read and follow label directions.
It's been a long and cold winter. Chances are your outside hoses are in need of repair. So why not start those repairs in the warmth of your home, garage, or shop right now with a little help from Orbit Irrigation Products and D&B Supply. D&B has all the right parts, pieces, and tools to help repair almost any hose end problem that has arisen over winter. From brass couplers to hose end menders, these quality parts can save you time and, in some cases, the expense of buying a new hose. D&B carries hundreds of Orbit products, including a full line of sprinkling system parts and accessories. So be prepared when the warmer spring days arrive by getting all your hoses and sprinkler systems back in tip-top shape with expert help from your friends at Orbit Irrigation and D&B Supply.
It's not the life for everyone, but it's the life for me. Western homes and families, the choice is D&B.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hi, welcome back to the D&B Garden Show. I'm your host, Debbie Cook. I'm here with Brett Van Papkum and Carrie Stenick, and we are talking about the Firewise program today. And one of the things that's kind of funny is we were visiting during break about the areas of where the wildland-urban interface might be. And I said, well, it doesn't really affect me personally because I live in a part of town. I live in West Boise, up on the West Bench. And they said to me, well, guess what? And what did you say to me?
Well, sometimes there are little pockets of what we would call wooey, even within our city. And I'll give an example. 2 years ago, a home burned down on Protest Hill, which is
in town,
yeah. Considered inner city. And yet Boise's laid out with all these benches.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those benches are a little mini wooey within themselves. So that home on Protest Hill had some cheatgrass growing on the hillside below it, and then they had landscaped with junipers. And so it went from, you know, up the hill through this cheatgrass into the junipers and burned the house down.
And it's one of the things that, for people that aren't aware, fire prefers to move up.
Uphill.
and it can do it quite rapidly. And Carrie, you said that even a vacant lot can be considered an urban interface.
Yeah, very, very much so. So anywhere that that you have plants that are growing in a natural state or in the wildland is considered the wildland urban interface. So certainly if you have a home that's next to a vacant lot that isn't being maintained, you pose the same amount of risk as you may pose living along the Boise foothills.
So I guess even more than just the air, it does affect everybody in the city. Because everybody's got vacant lots or lots that are overgrown with weeds that are in their own neighborhood, and it's easy enough for fire to move from one house to another.
Certainly.
So, yikes. So, heads up, folks. Pay attention. before I want to move on. We talked a little bit about Zone 1, and one of the things also that Brett mentioned during break is the drift of snow and how you might look at that.
Yeah. Pay attention maybe in the winter for where snow is drifting, and that is often the same kind of areas that embers would be collecting. And that could be a place where you might consider putting in a like a dry creek, kind of a rock landscape emulating a dry creek,
uh-huh.
and could become a catch for embers.
Oh, so that's a great idea too. Very good use of that. So let's move out a little bit further. We were talking about the first 30 feet around the house and the house itself. Then you move out into zone two, which is a little bit further out. It's the next zone, right? Zone two?
Zone two is the next step out beyond 30 feet to 100 feet. And here we still want to use firewise plants as much as possible, choosing dwarf shrubs and trees. And spacing and the arrangement is really important. So we can plant in groups or in islands, but space 2 to 3 times the height in between these islands, and use gravel mulch again or brick paver walkways in between. So we're still minimizing the amount of fuel and trying to create, lost track of what I'm trying to say here.
Yep.
We don't want continuous fuel, so we're breaking that up.
And the other thing that I think is a term that says it exactly is the ladder fuels.
Mm-hmm. So that's more of a zone three. We should consider it in all zones, but in zone one and two, we really shouldn't have trees so much that we're worried about ladder fuels, but in zone three particularly, where we might have larger trees, keeping those pruned up 6 to 10 feet, and then yes, watching out for ladder fuels. We don't want to have lower shrubs planted directly beneath larger trees that a ground fire could carry right up into become a crown fire.
So here's my question. How should people landscape if you have a smaller lot? I mean, if you don't have 100 feet to consider, you know, and I think a lot of people may not have that kind of room. And so what do people do then? Do they make littler zones? Do they make everything zone one? How does that work?
That is a problem. And, you know, if there are properties that are well out there and they've got some acreage and they've got plenty of room to create zone 1, 2, and 3.
Uh-huh.
And talking about how big those zones are, those numbers are just based on flat ground. So we should increase those numbers if there's a slope, because fire travels more readily up a slope. And so that 100 feet should turn into 200 feet if it's on a steep slope.
Uh-huh.
But to address the question about what if my property isn't even that big, I just spoke with some folks from Aviemore just the other day. They just bought a property, building a new home there, and they don't have 100 feet. They've
right.
only got 30 feet. So their whole property is basically zone one. And I can't tell them you can shrink those zones down just because you've only got 30 feet. You've basically got a zone one property and need to be treating that as we would suggest for zone one.
And so then, would you say then in that situation that people would plant no trees in their yard?
Well,
as a tree person, you know how horrified I am.
I know, and that's a hard sell. We can't expect that people are really not going to have any trees. So that's not realistic. But I would suggest using like fruit trees. And for one, deciduous trees offer more shade than conifers do anyway. So choosing a deciduous tree is going to be much less fire hazard than a conifer and provide more shade. So the crabapple trees, fruiting trees that contain pectin and not those volatile resins and oils could be a good choice. And they're not quite so large.
Mm-hmm.
So a nice crabapple might be 30 feet versus a 100-foot pine.
Right. Or would you, I mean, and that's my question, I guess, is a smaller, like a class one tree that you would plant typically under power lines or something like that would be a better choice than an ash tree that's going to get 60 feet tall.
Exactly. So that's where we recommend using dwarf cultivars of shrubs and trees that don't create so much fuel.
Uh-huh.
And then you're also helping minimize the amount of maintenance that you're having to do when you choose these dwarf plants. So it's understandable that people are going to want some trees and maybe they don't have 100 feet to work with. And that's where the Firewise Communities part comes into it. So we have to start working with our neighbors and maybe the entire community to work together, because each property is only maybe zone one or two, and they start affecting each other and need to work together.
And I think that's a good point, is because, yes, people can certainly do Firewise landscaping or on their own property, but recognizing the fact that if a whole community does it, it's much more beneficial. And so there is actually a program that's called Firewise Communities. And I know that we have several of them. Warm Springs Mesa has become a Firewise community. Harris Ranch, they've been a Firewise community for a long time, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm participating in an event for Wildfire Preparedness Day at Hidden Springs, actually, on May 20th. And another event is going to be at Wilderness Ranch. Is now 15 years as a Firewise community.
Wilderness Ranch?
Wilderness Ranch.
Wow.
It's up Highway 20.
Highway
21, about halfway to Idaho City.
That's good news. They have worked hard then to become a Firewise community. I mean, they must have done quite a bit of work up there, because when I originally was doing a Firewise class, we visited that area and it was quite scary. And that was a long time ago, but I think that maybe because of the tour that was done there, people were like, yikes, because it had to be 15, 20 years ago, I guess, maybe, that I toured that, and it was very overgrown at the time. So hooray, good news to them. Hey, if you've got calls or questions, I mean, if you've got a question about fire, give us a call, 888-580-5436. We would love to visit with you today about the Firewise program. One of the things that's happening in May is it is Wildfire Awareness Month, right, Carrie?
Yeah, it is. So that's a national campaign. So May is a Wildfire Awareness Month. And mostly that's just because May now is the opportune time for our homeowners to get out there, to take care of their landscapes, make sure that they're doing what they can to make Boise safer, the Treasure Valley safer, Idaho safer. And we do have a fair amount of community events that are going around. It's not just us, the Boise Fire Department. We're out there. Brett's got the Firewise Gardens right down here in Boise, and we will be out there throughout the month of May giving tours and classes, and all the resources are here, so please come and see us.
And I'm sure that all of that stuff, you can find information about all of the events that are going on during May on the website.
Yes, you can.
IdahoFirewise.org. So those will all be listed for fun things to do. There's another thing that's coming up that's kind of cool. The Era of Megafires.
Yes, the Era of Megafires.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so we are very fortunate to have the Era of Megafires that's touring around nationwide right now. And we're going to have three here in Idaho. So we have one in McCall, one in Boise, and one following in Twin Falls. So the one here in Boise will be on the 16th. It's a tremendously beneficial educational opportunity for anybody that's interested in fire or lives in this area.
And so is it a movie?
Yeah, it's a combination of a few things, a movie, more like a seminar. There'll be quite a bit of talking and dialogue back and forth. It's at the Egyptian Theater, which is a great venue.
Yes.
And we have a lot of community partners that have worked together to make that happen.
So, and that's on the 16th?
It is, yep.
At the Egyptian Theater?
Yes.
Cool. That'll be a good thing to do. You know what? There's also some plant sales going on today. And I know that the Idaho Native Plant Society is having their plant sale today. It's down at the MK Nature Center. Brett, you were down there tagging plants.
Yeah, last night it was open for members only of the Native Plant Society, but open today to the public from 10 until 1. And I was down there last night putting Firewise stickers on Firewise plants. And I'll tell you that there was a pretty significant portion of the plant sale that we have tagged. And yeah, check it out.
So let me ask you this. Is there a program within the nursery, the Idaho Nursery and Landscape Association? Do they tag Firewise plants yet? I know that there's been talk and discussion about that, but it has not come to fruition. Is that correct?
That's correct. We are working with the Idaho Nursery Landscape Association, and I have an exhibit set up at the expo every year.
Yes.
And you know, we are working on getting the word out there. Carrie and I have worked with local nurseries going in, putting Firewise stickers on Firewise plant material, and then working with DMB. And DMB is now carrying a specifically Firewise plant lineup. Zamzos is also doing it, and so we're working on it.
You're working on getting the nurseries involved in it, and that's a really great thing. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about fire. If you have questions, give us a call. We'd love to visit with you. 888-580-5436. You're listening to the DMB Garden Show.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Know what tends to lurk on the lawn under the snow? Snow mold, a common turf blight that bleaches and kills patches of grass. Stop this cold-loving menace in its tracks with Fertilome F-Stop Fungicide Granules, available at D&B. Yardwork season starts with Fertilome F-Stop Fungicide Granules. Strike down snow mold at the ground level for picture-perfect, disease-free turf grass. Make your lawn spring back to life with Fertilome F-Stop Fungicide Granules at D&B Supply.
If you want a perfect lawn this year, you need to stop weeds before they come up and take over your lawn. Bonide makes this happen with Bonide Weed Beater Complete. Bonide Weed Beater Complete is a total lawn weed control product. It prevents weed seeds from germinating and kills weeds that are already there. Tough grassy weeds like crabgrass and nutsedge and broadleaf weeds like clover, creeping charlie are no match for Weed Beater Complete. Weed Beater Complete kills over 200 hard-to-kill grassy and broadleaf weeds. Weed Beater Complete works through the roots and shoots of a weed, killing it before it can get started or after the weed has started to grow. Available in a convenient granular formula for easy spreader applications. Let's get you on your way to a picture-perfect lawn. Stop on your way home and pick up some Bonide Weed Beater Complete at your favorite D&B.
Western homes and families, the choice is D&B.
It's been a long and cold winter. Chances are your outside hoses are in need of repair. So why not start those repairs in the warmth of your home, garage, or shop right now with a little help from Orbit Irrigation Products and D&B Supply. D&B has all the right parts, pieces, and tools to help repair almost any hose end problem that has arisen over winter. From brass couplers to hose end menders, these quality parts can save you time and, in some cases, the expense of buying a new hose. D&B carries hundreds of Orbit products, including a full line of sprinkling system parts and accessories. So be prepared when the warmer spring days arrive by getting all your hoses and sprinkler systems back in tip-top shape with expert help from your friends at Orbit Irrigation and D&B Supply.
It's not the life for everyone, but it's the life for me. Western homes and families, the choice is D&B.
Kudzu. the ultimate invader. Some would describe kudzu as being indestructible. Until now, thanks to the science of Bear Advanced Brush Killer Plus, its powerful formula is specifically designed to penetrate and kill hard-to-control brush like kudzu, poison ivy, and poison oak, roots and all. And it even kills stumps, so your yard's days of being picked on are over. Bear Advanced. Better science, better results. BearAdvanced.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Welcome back to the D&B Garden Show. I'm your host, Debbie Cook. I'm here with Carrie Stanek and Brett Van Papegem, and we are talking about the Firewise program and how you might make your house a little more defensible. And that's a term that I think that we might want to talk just a bit about. Defensible space and survivable space and fire resistant rather than, you know, fire safe kind of a thing. Nothing is completely 100% safe from fire.
Right. Yep, exactly.
And so all we can do is sort of minimize the risk. And this is a great program to help eliminate some of the risk that's involved with living in certain areas.
Right.
Or any areas, I've found out since I've been sitting here. So let's talk a little bit about, we were talking about survivable space and defensible space. If you live in an area that is in a wildland urban interface, you might need to have or want to have some sort of an evacuation plan just in case.
Right, yeah. So
fire moves fast.
It does. It moves very fast. And I know that Brett touched on that a little bit earlier, but the reason that fire moves faster uphill is mostly because the radiant heat from the heat below can actually dry out those fuels before the fire gets there. So it travels very fast uphill. And you did, Debbie also brought up the term triage.
Yes.
And that's important to take note of because it's a common misconception that that if you haven't taken the proper precautions to prepare your home ahead of time, that the fire personnel that are on scene are going to focus on those homes because they have the most immediate threat, which is not actually what happens in many situations. It really is in the form of a medical triage, and they are going to go to the homes that they stand the best chance in saving, you know, because the firefighters ultimately are putting themselves in between the fire and your home, and they need to be able to make a stand and have a survivable space to do that from. And so that's why we encourage people to not have a defensible space, but have a survivable space, because your home may be the standalone first line of defense from that wildfire.
So, yeah, that's a very good point. Let's talk a bit about evacuation plans and what people might need to consider.
Yeah, so evacuation plans, so not just for wildfire, but I would highly recommend that everybody has one of these in their home. So you want to have an evacuation kit that has all the supplies that your family can need to self-sustain for at least 24 to 48 hours. And so that's just because if we have to evacuate an entire subdivision, if you have an evacuation kit that you've prepared ahead of time, you have a checklist with important phone numbers on it, contact information, you've rehearsed with your family, I cannot stress that enough, physically get in your car with that evacuation kit with your kids, leave your home, because when a chaotic situation arises, if you've done the proper training and prepared ahead of time, you are always going to fall back into training, and you're going to be calmer in that situation. We know that we don't have complete control over wildfire. Mother Nature has control over wildfire, but as an individual homeowner and a resident, you have control over how you react in that situation and how you prepare ahead of time.
That's a good point. So what kind of things should they have in their kit? Like you said, water, blankets, some snack kind of stuff.
Yeah, water, food, medications. You probably want to have an extra charge cord in there. I know that we all rely on our phones and technology, and that's unavoidable at this state in our society. So you want to make sure that you have those also. But I would say that the most important thing is where you keep that kit, that everybody knows where it's at and how to use it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And also, I think that people may talk about a plan, but I think that your suggestion of actually practicing, getting in the car, and how are you going to get out of there? What if this road is blocked off? And that's something that I think some people don't think about, is that roads may be blocked, either by fire or by equipment.
Yeah, very, very possible. And in a wildfire type situation, especially when we have thrown homes that are immediately threatened, it's going to be hot, it's going to be smoky, it's going to be chaotic already. But if you have rehearsed that and your family knows that, hey, you know what, mom and dad have got this, it's going to be okay. We have a meeting place. We know where we're going to go and what we're going to do when we get there. Our home is safe. Then you've done everything that you could possibly do to protect your family.
So take heed. And I'll bet you that there's probably information once again on how to plan, how to make an evacuation plan on the website.
Yeah, and Idaho Fire Info, they've actually created a fantastic resource. It's called Ready, Set, Go. It was developed specifically for Southern Idaho. It has a checklist for inside, outside your home, tips on how to make an evacuation kit. And we've got those resources out there for the public, and we encourage them to utilize
them. There are a lot of resources on fire.
Definitely.
So there's really no excuse to not have the information, I think. So, I want to talk a little bit about invasive species that move in after fire, mm-hmm. and how people might, or if they need to be concerned about that. Is something, is an invasive species something, and I know that, cheatgrass is probably our biggest invasive species,
right,
that causes the most grief.
Yeah, so cheatgrass and Medusa head is a second one that's probably equally as big of a problem as cheatgrass. The problem with it is, for one, it's an exotic invasive species, doesn't belong here in Idaho, and it's a winter annual. So its life cycle is a little strange compared to how we think about most plants. It's actually germinating in the winter and starts its growth and life cycle in January and is greening up in early winter, and it is done with its life cycle about June. So that's the very beginning of our fire season, and that plant is dead. And so it's also very fine fuel, and it grows in a continuous manner, so it's a continuous fine fuel and can burn extremely fast. And then it comes back so readily right after a fire, and it gets its common name cheat grass because it is cheating our native bunch grasses and sagebrush out of nutrients and moisture in that early spring. And so our native populations are declining because of the cheatgrass.
Because of that?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. How do you think that this winter, with all of this moisture that we have, how do you think that will affect the fire season this year?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people think that because we have a lot of moisture means that we're going to have less of a fire season. That may be the case in certain areas, especially in higher elevations where they've got a good solid snowpack to rely on. But for down here in the valley, in a lot of the 4 million acres that surrounds Boise is BLM, and a lot of our fuels are fine and flashy, with the exception of juniper trees. We have a couple of those out there. But most of it is cheatgrass and other evasive grasses and sagebrush. And so when we get a fire and that fire burns off all the good stuff, the sagebrush, then immediately the first thing that comes back is that cheatgrass. And yeah, it looks pretty and green
right
for
now,
the couple weeks that it lasts, but it takes, if the weather keeps how it is today, and we get a little bit of wind and dry and no moisture, that cheatgrass is going to be dry within a week and it's going to be ready to burn. And it literally just takes one spark.
And do you think that because of the moisture, we might have more fuel this year?
I think that's a fair assessment to make, yeah. And just because it is an annual and you may have layer upon layer and it just becomes this thick thatch. And like Brett was saying, it's a continuous fuel source, and especially out in the rolling hills and in our landscape. I mean, it's out there. It's not going anywhere. The seeds are so easily transferable, and there just really isn't any way for us to mitigate it on a large scale.
So I know that some of the fires that we have around here, and there's not much you can say about the fact if it's lightning or if it's nature-caused fire. It's just one of those, Mother Nature having her way. But what is the main source of wildland fires? Is it nature or is it people?
Is
it us, which is usually what it is.
Right. Yeah, Debbie, that's a great point. So it's interesting because between 85 and 90% of our fires here in the Treasure Valley are human-caused. And with human-caused fires, to me as a prevention officer, that tells me one thing. These are preventable fires.
Right.
And so we're only talking about 10% lightning here. And so where are we getting our fires in Boise? The majority of those are coming from vehicles, either dragging chains, not having their trailers hooked up properly, pulling off on the roadway under, over the top of dry grass. We get a lot of ATV and UTV fires from those hot exhaust blown out particles, people not having spark arresters. We also get a lot of shooting fires here. And it's a common misconception, too, that we only get fires from exploding targets or tracer rounds. And that's not the case. We get them from steel core ammunition, copper ammunition. Forest Service did a really interesting study on the specific characteristics of the landscape that cause, a bullet or a spark to come from a bullet. Mm-hmm. And they can come from any type of bullet.
Oh, wow.
And as we know that the BLM land, we allow people to recreate and to go out there and shoot. But that's under the assumption that they're going to be careful out there. And unfortunately, that's just not the case right now. And a lot of our fires are coming from shooting.
You know, that'd be interesting to know if they teach that aspect in a firearm safety class.
We are working with the Idaho Hunters Education to get those teaching points in there to make sure that they have the tools that they can.
Yeah, because that's an important thing because that's what I thought. Tracer bullets or something like that you might worry about, but any bullet, I guess, that could do that. So, yeah, having that as part of the education would be great.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and wind up our show. If you've got a question, give us a call, 888-580-5436. You're listening to the D&B Garden Show.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Tailgating season's here, and D&B Supplies got just the generator to run your stuff, the Honda EU2000.
The EU2000 is excellent for tailgating because it's super quiet. So generally, you're in a parking lot with a lot of other people. They get irritated if you've got a real loud generator. So that's one of the biggest things. And then, of course, you can fill the tank up, and generally it's going to last all the time that you're out there tailgating.
The Honda EU2000, available at D&B Supply.
If you want a perfect lawn this year, you need to stop weeds before they come up and take over your lawn. Bonide makes this happen with Bonide Weed Beater Complete. Bonide Weed Beater Complete is a total lawn weed control product. It prevents weed seeds from germinating and kills weeds that are already there. Tough grassy weeds like crabgrass and nutsedge and broadleaf weeds like clover, creeping charlie are no match for Weed Beater Complete. Weed Beater Complete kills over 200 hard-to-kill grassy and broadleaf weeds. Weed Beater Complete works through the roots and shoots of a weed, killing it before it can get started or after the weed has started to grow. Available in a convenient granular formula for easy spreader applications. Let's get you on your way to a picture-perfect lawn. Stop on your way home and pick up some Bonide Weed Beater Complete at your favorite D&B.
Western homes and families, the choice is D&B.
Do you want the best-looking lawn? Then use the very best, Scotts. We're hearing a lot of our customers tell us about a larger-than-normal problem with weeds this year. So, weather permitting, apply Scott's Super Turf Builder Plus 2 Weed Control. It kills broadleaf weeds such as dandelions. The weeds gradually fade away, root and all, as your fertilized lawn grows thicker and greener. If you don't have weed problems, apply Scott's Super Turf Builder Lawn Fertilizer and build a thick green turf from the roots up without burning your lawn. When the weather gets hot, Scott's Super Turf Builder with Summer Guard builds a stronger lawn and combats seasonal threats like insects, heat, and drought. For the best-looking lawn, nothing beats Scott's Super Turf Builder program. Available at D&B Supply.
Western homes and families, the choice is D&B.
Know what tends to lurk on the lawn under the snow? Snow mold, a common turf blight that bleaches and kills patches of grass. Stop this cold-loving menace in its tracks with Fertilome F-Stop Fungicide Granules, available at D&B. Yardwork season starts with Fertilome F-Stop Fungicide Granules. Strike down snow mold at the ground level for picture-perfect, disease-free turf grass. Make your lawn spring back to life with Fertilome F-Stop Fungicide Granules at D&B Supply.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hi, welcome back to the D&B Garden Show. I'm your host, Debbie Cook. I have been talking for the past hour with Brett Van Papegum and Carrie Stenick, and we have been talking about the Firewise program. One of the things that I think is pretty cool is that the D&B staff, you've trained them.
Yeah, we have. So D&B has really gone above and beyond this year, and we presented this problem that we have a problem with wildfire and homes that live along the front, but they don't have anywhere to buy Firewise plants, and we're only one or two prevention officers. How can we be everywhere? Well, they have graciously let us pick the plants. We've got them in the stores, but we've also trained their management at each store as well, and so we have fire prevention officers all over the state of Idaho and even into Oregon.
So that's really great. So you can get good answers about Firewise plants at D&B. So thank you so much for doing that. And thanks, of course, D&B, for taking the opportunity to have these people come in and train the staff. So that's really great. If people were going to take away one good message from this program, what would they keep in the forefront of their mind probably?
I would say that it begins with awareness. So have that conversation. Have the conversation in your family. Have that conversation with your neighbor as a community. You have to have the conversation about wildfire. It's here. It's not going anywhere. Either we have to change with it, with the times. That's the only option, really, it is.
Right.
We have to change.
Right. And it's certainly, when you mentioned talking to your neighbors, it would be a good idea for them to talk about becoming a Firewise community.
Yes, it would.
We're not talking about the whole city of Boise. We're talking about your neighborhood.
We are. Yeah. I think that more than anything, that Brett and I, and really anybody who's in the fire service, we want a united front. We want Firewise communities along the entire wildland urban interface, whether it be in Boise or in other parts of Idaho. That is our number one objective.
Uh-huh. Keep everybody safe from fire.
It is, yep.
So Brett, plant man.
Yeah.
Do you have a takeaway message for this?
Keep it lean, clean, and green.
Clean, lean, and green.
Yes. There you plan, go. Prepare, prevent. May's Wildfire Awareness Month. Do your part.
So watch for all the kinds of activities that you're going to be doing. You've got stuff going on the whole month. And there's something different every day. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, every day we have a different theme. So it's out there.
It's out there. Go to the website,
IdahoFirewise.org.
And get all the information that you need. The Idaho Native Plant Sale is going on today at the MK Nature Center until 1 o'clock. And it's down at the end of Walnut. You can't miss that. It'll be really great to get some plants down there. CWI, College of Western Idaho, is having a plant sale next week. Is that right?
May 11th.
May 11th.
College of Western Idaho Horticulture, behind the old penitentiary.
Cool. And today, if you are looking for plants, the University of Idaho Master Gardeners are having their sale until noon. So you got an hour to hop down there and get some plants from the Master Gardeners. That's down at 5880 Glenwood. So take advantage of that. We have taken up a whole hour talking about fire. Thank you so much for spending part of your Saturday morning
with
me, Carrie and Brett. It's been great to visit with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, D&B, for the opportunity to talk gardening and to talk about fire. And I'll be back next week with more of the D&B Garden Show right here on KIDO. Have a really great week, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't it be great if you could stop crime before it happens? With the Ring Floodlight Cam, you can. I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor and founder of Ring. Floodlight Cam is a motion